As I was thinking about tonight's lesson, I think one thing that each of us face in life is that we get discouraged from time to time, and we need to be uplifted, and God has given us reason to be uplifted and to be encouraged, and has given us a way that we can overcome discouragement. In fact, God has given great gifts to His children. And so I entitled the lesson this evening, God's Good Gifts to His People. Now that excludes those who are not His people. And it's important for us to remember that. Isaiah, prophesying some 700 years before Christ, is telling God's people that they are special to Him. That they have a special place in the heart of God. That God has provided for them all of these years, that God has protected them all of these years, that He has taken care of every need that they have had. And when come under persecution, He was there to cover them and to shadow them with His own wing. When I think about what Isaiah says in Isaiah 41, for God's people today, it is most pertinent for us to understand that God still provides for His children today some great gifts and great blessings, we might say, just for being in Christ and being faithful unto God. And so I want us to notice some that come mainly from verse 10 of Isaiah 41. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, he says. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. We think about good gifts. James reminds us that every good and every perfect gift cometh from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good and every perfect gift. So let's notice some gifts that God has given to His children. First, to the children of Israel in Isaiah's time, something that they could look forward to and be encouraged with, but also for us, even in these times that we face in our lives. To begin with, He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. God gives the gift of serenity, the idea of peace in one's life. But many Christians today lack the peace that God has supplied for them, that He wants for them, that He offers to them. God always wanted His children to not only have what they need, but to have good things, to have a good life, to be prosperous. And He's always sought to make a way that they could be. But God gives the gift of serenity. But the problem that we face even today, as they were facing, they were somewhat downtrodden by their enemies. And then they were hearing these messages, even from the prophet Isaiah, that if they did not repent, God was coming in judgment upon them. And look at the northern kingdom and what has happened to them. And their end is almost here at this time that we're reading of Isaiah. And what of Judah? Has Judah been faithful in all these years? Certainly not. Judah had her issues as well, and she would occasionally then repent and come back to God, and things would be well, and then go off again into idolatry under an evil king. And these were things that they continued to face. And so there was great discouragement to the people of God. But He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. God gives the gift of serenity. And think about John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, Jesus says. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There's no reason to fear. Jesus spoke of fearing what man might do unto us. We do not have to fear mankind, but we do have to fear God and keep His commandments. Ecclesiastes 12, 13. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. 1 Corinthians 14:33. In fact, you remember what Isaiah says earlier in Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. God has given to his children the gift of peace or serenity. We today fail to accept his peace that he offers by faith. That is, that assurance of God's grace and mercy. And if we're faithful to him, then he provides for us that peace that passeth all understanding that the Apostle Paul spoke of, recorded for us in Philippians 4. He's promised it to the Israelites. He says, I am with thee. May we believe it and then enjoy it, the peace that God offers to his children. But God also gives the gift of security. I was thinking about the security alarm, and we've had issues trying to figure out the security alarm. We've never had to deal with a security alarm. Brett had an issue with a security alarm this afternoon as well. But you think about security. Security is something that we're all looking for in life. We want to be secure. We want to be safe. We want to be protected. But God has given that to his children once again. The gift of security. He says, be not dismayed or discouraged, for I am thy God. And knowing who God is, the Israelites surely should have taken comfort and encouragement in this, knowing that God was with them, the creator of all that exists, the protector of all, the one who has provided for them every need along the way. When they look back at those great lessons and the stories they read in Israelite history, the different books, the parchments, and they go back and they read about Israel's history and how God has provided for them every step of the way. But not only has he provided for them, but he was protective of his children. He provided security for them. But many people today seek security by acquiring substantial bank accounts, stocks, bonds, real estate holdings, cars, material possessions, and they believe that those things will make them secure. If I have these things, then I'm secure. It at least gives me the appearance, right, of being secure. And so then I can put on a front in front of my friends, in front of my coworkers, in front of my family even, if I have these things. Too many are putting their trust in riches, in material possessions. But security is not found in temporal holdings, and we know that. But in the God who created the heaven and the earth. We put our faith and trust in him, and we can be secure. Notice God said, I am thy God. You see, that is true security. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Paul understood something about security. You think about Paul's missionary trips and how Paul went about preaching the gospel. And Paul was in prison. Paul was beaten. Paul was left for dead after he was nearly stoned to death. But God had protected him. God had provided security for him. And so he knew something about that. He said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. But God also gives his children strength as a gift. Strength. He says, I will strengthen thee in Isaiah 41:10. I will strengthen thee. That's interesting because when I think about my strength, it's not near what it used to be. It's not even near what I used to think that it was. But you know, I think about lifting boxes and things like that, moving furniture and different things. It takes a certain amount of strength, but even then you cannot do it all by yourself. It takes effort on several working together as a team to have that combined strength, that compounded strength, to be able to pick up certain things. But even then, we cannot pick up everything. Our strength is still limited. But what about the God who created, who spoke into existence the universe, who formed man from the dust of the earth? And yet, in his great wisdom, made man so intricately detailed. Above all animals. That's the power that we need to rely on. Not my own strength. I can fail. But when I rely on God's strength, I can make it. And he's offered for his children strength, his strength. He says, I will strengthen thee. No more do we have to depend upon ourselves. Then no more do the Israelites have to depend upon their own strength. And they had a history of doing such. But he says, I will strengthen thee. But you know, God has never asked us to do more than we're capable of doing. We should accept with faith that the strength that God has promised to give to us will be all that we need to make it through this life, to make it at every turn. When I feel discouraged, when I feel somewhat let down by my peers, my friends, my family, even my church family, how am I going to continue on? How am I going to make it in this life? The strength of God, I can make it. Think what it means to have the strength of God, to receive that strength. When I'm struggling with my faith, to know that I have the strength of God to continue on and to trust in Him. What about to have the strength of God when it comes to my marriage? If I'm struggling in my marriage, what does it mean to me then to have the strength of God? Then we can continue on and we can make it. And we don't have to give up. What about when I'm struggling with temptations? To know that I have the strength of God, that God is on my side, and that I can overcome this. What about when I'm struggling financially? I'm struggling in any way. If I put my faith and my trust in God, His strength will be there for me, and I can make it. I can carry on. I can keep on keeping on, as they say. I don't have to give up, and I don't have to give in to the devil. But God also provides something very closely related to strength, and that's stamina. Notice after he says, I will strengthen thee, he says, yea, I will help thee. Now see, that's very personal. Because there are times when I need God's help, and I may have help from every side, but it's God's help that I need to continue on, to be able to endure. I'm thankful for the help that I get from every source, but it's God's help that I know is going to get me through and is going to carry me to the end. He says, yea, I will help thee. The idea of stamina is endurance, staying power, being able to finish the course. That's what it's about. But God didn't promise to do everything for us, but He did promise to help us through our hardships, through our trials, and give us that staying power, that enduring power to carry on. Notice verse 13 of this chapter. He says, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. He'll take us by our right hand, he says. To the children of Israel, what would this mean? This would be very encouraging to know that He is right there with them. His presence is with them. His strength is there for them to tap into that source of strength and to be able to carry on, to have the endurance that we're going to make it. We're going to overcome our enemies. We're going to overcome the troubles that we're facing with this evil king that has led us into these other things, that has brought Baal worship into the land and idol worship into the land. We can overcome that because we can turn back to God. And He says, I will strengthen thee and I will help thee. We can overcome and we can endure. I think about the Apostle Paul. He keeps coming to mind as I've studied through this lesson several times. And I think about the Apostle Paul because in all that Paul faced in his life, through these journeys, through the beatings, the being left for dead, being shipwrecked, and all the things, going to places that he didn't know how things were going to turn out. But he knew that God was there with him. And he says at the end of his life, as he writes to Timothy, he says, "I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I have finished my course," he says. But I like that. He says, "I have kept the faith." You see, he relied on the strength of God. He depended on God. And God was there providing help along the way. The last thing that we gain from Isaiah 41:10, thinking about gifts to His children, is God gives us the gift of stability. Stability. He says, "Yea, I will uphold thee with thy right hand of my righteousness." He's going to uphold us. While many Christians are weak and unstable because they're relying on their own strength, Jeremiah reminds us, Jeremiah 10:23, "Lord, it's not in the way of man that walketh to direct his own steps." And yet we try to do that over and over again in our lives. And what happens? We fail. We fail. But God gives us stability in our lives. Go back and look at your life. And you tell me one time when God was not there for you. And you tell me then when you tried to stand at some point on your own two feet, doing your own thing, trying to lead your own way, make your own way, and you left God out, what happened? We lose the ability to stand without God. You see, He makes things level for us in our lives. He makes things stable for us in our lives. He brings our lives together as it should be as a child of God. Are we still going to face trials and temptations? Absolutely. But we're prepared for them because we're standing there with God. And He's going to give us strength. And He's going to help us along the way. And He is going to provide the stability that we need in life so that we can stand together with Him and not be knocked over every time a wave comes. He provides stability. We cannot do it by ourselves. And I believe that most of us have learned that in our lives. We cannot do it by ourselves. He provides help for us. He plants my feet on level ground so that I can walk in this life, so that I can let my light shine before others, so that I can continue when faced with trials and temptations, so that I can overcome them, and I can be an encouragement to others then. You see, this is where it's so important for us to realize what God has provided for us is not just for us to enjoy, but for every child of God to enjoy. The benefits that I enjoy in my life, I should be sharing with others so they too know how God has provided. He's providing through us. He's using us in service that we might help and benefit others. What we have to do is begin to train ourselves to look for those needs. And if we have the ability to help, we have the benefits that we can share with someone, then do that. Then do that. And God receives the glory. And in so doing, we can help someone's life turn a corner. Someone that's struggling with sin. Someone struggling with just difficult times. Financially, emotionally, whatever it may be. But we had a small part in that God might be glorified. And so God has promised some great gifts to his children, to the children of Israel, no doubt, but we apply this lesson and can see what God has given to us as his children. He's given the gift of serenity, the gift of security, the gift of strength, stamina, and then the stability that we need in our lives so that we can properly benefit others around us. But we know that the greatest gift that God has ever given was his Son, the Savior of the world. And he offered Jesus Christ on a cross that we might be forgiven of sin. And we meet that blood that was shed on that cross as we're obedient to the plan of salvation that he has given in the New Testament. Believe Jesus to be the Son of God, repent of our sins, confess our faith in him, that Jesus truly is the Son of God, and then be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins, that we might be saved and added unto his church, unto the kingdom of God. You know, we think about these great gifts, and we like to give and receive gifts. We understand how that works. But think about the gifts that God has truly given. Shouldn't we ever praise him and thank him and then help benefit others that they too might be able to see these great gifts? And most importantly, the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. So if we can help or encourage someone this evening, won't you come while together we stand and sing?